This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Democratic voters in Vermont made history this week, nominating Christine Hallquist as the first transgender major party gubernatorial candidate in the country. Hallquist is just one of a number of trans people making their voices heard this year, whether it's in politics, on a TV show, or at work. And I'm using voice here in the literal sense. Thomas Page McBee, he's an author and a journalist who transitioned when he was 30, so after he'd had a couple of jobs. He had a piece in the New York Times last week about the power of his changed voice in the office. And I asked him when we talked, when he first realized what was going on.
I had just started a new job at the Boston Phoenix, and it was in a new newsroom. I was pretty low on the totem pole, and I'd really only been on testosterone for a few months, but it had worked pretty quickly on my body. I was just noticing, like, sort of very rapidly a lot of changes about, you know, not just how I looked physically, but the way I was being treated in the world. And one place that was really clear was at work, you know, an editorial meeting where people are sort of talking over each other and having a lot of thoughts. And in my past life, you know, before my transition, I had really been careful about when to speak and how much to speak. And it was a lot of mental energy to figure out how to be assertive and make myself heard. And I noticed this just because it was such a dissonance. But when I sort of gathered the courage to say something in this meeting, everyone got silent very quickly. Hmm. And that was the first time that it ever happened to me.
People paid attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Did it change? Did this realization, did it change how you use your voice in the workplace?
It did eventually. I mean, at that time, it was such a whirlwind of other changes. As my life moved on and I was able to sort of more and more at work, especially like the ease in which I was able to do things that I hadn't found any ease at all with, like, for example, promotions or negotiating pay, or just even, you know, the rise I had in stature so quickly, I realized, like, over time that there was no way to avoid the reality that I was benefiting from being a man.
Did your female coworkers start treating you differently, or what did you notice about how your female coworkers were treating you, I guess is a better question?
What I noticed was that if a bunch of women I worked with were talking and I came up and contributed to the conversation in the way I was socialized to do so, which is through interrupting, everyone would get silent. And, you know, that was for me like the moment where I realized, oh, this is sort of this is a weapon. You know, this isn't just this isn't a tool anymore. My voice, I mean, I'm creating an environment for people, whether or not any of us are conscious of it, where I'm making other people small.
And you started keeping track of your own behavior, right? I mean, who you, like, responded to on emails and whose opinion you pushed back on. There was a bunch of stuff that you itemized, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what I decided to do about it eventually was really to look at myself and my own behavior and to start tracking what I was doing. So I started paying attention to how often I interrupted women versus men, how often I took men more seriously. And I was horrified by the way I had internalized this socialization that really started when I was 30 years old. So what I started to do was ask the women in my life, like, what sort of feedback would they give me, you know, and what can I do to make your life easier, to make room for you? Once I started doing that in earnest and taking those suggestions, things changed really quickly for me at work.
Yeah. On the flip side of that question, though, you talk about how men started treating you differently, right? People giving you the deferential sir and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I think being in the world as a man is incredibly different because your right to be in space is never questioned and, in fact, is like upheld all the time. And the better you perform that masculinity, the more deference you're given. So, of course, there's an incentive to keep behaving in ways that are maybe pretty problematic because that's what power is. But I think making gender visible is a positive thing, especially in this cultural moment we're all living through. So I think the ability to sort of see and name, you know, that this is happening, I hope, is useful to people who are not just trans, but like of all genders, because most of this sort of thing is so unconscious that we don't even see it.
Thomas Page McBee, he's a journalist, a writer as well. His most recent book is called Amateur, A True Story About What Makes a Man. Thomas, thanks a lot. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.